Roll dice, be nice, and stay tuned. This is the Live to Die podcast.
Welcome.
Whoa.
Look at me.
Where's James?
Look at me. I am the GM now.
What, oh, Jesus.
What have you done with my plot twist?
Hi, everyone. I'm here from the Live to Die HR division. I'm just here to announce some changes that we're making organizationally.
I have been forced to step aside.
I was going to say, we've laid James off, and Trent, we have to talk after this episode.
Yeah, yeah, wow. You really brought up some dark stuff for your husband.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry about that. Trent, you've definitely got to go. It's more so just like your general personality.
It's just your vibe, man.
It's really just your vibe.
Making everybody really uncomfortable.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know where to look when I'm sitting in James's seat here.
You just got to defocus.
And you're omnipotent.
Really, yeah.
You're omnipotent.
This is kind of stressful. Mm-hmm. I don't actually like this. I thought this was going to be fun. It's not fun.
Now we're all looking
at you. And I don't want to make sound. You look smaller sitting there.
Wow.
Like, I'm used to you having this space, and you're like,
you look like you just look like a tiny person.
Not like power diminutive, but like,
sure.
Power diminutive was a good word. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Well, it sounds really smart.
Yeah.
I went to college.
I think the audience can tell that we're like hyped up from lunch right now.
Yeah, I just had 16 ounces of coffee in like 30 seconds. Yep, so
this coffee is going in my body.
Four chicken tenders, and now I'm having four shots of espresso.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I was just getting some FOMO with this like side quest going on.
Well,
so I wanted to hop
you
in
have
here.
To leave.
Well,
you weren't invited.
Because there are going to be spoilers coming up, I think, in the next few episodes.
What? Spoilers for the actual game?
For you, personally.
Personally? This is exciting. Wow. Well, then you don't have to be fired after all. Oh, you can stay because I want to know what you're talking about here.
All right. So all you have to do is appeal to the spoiler in the HR department. And
yeah, this is a very corrupt institution. Yeah,
I think that's the way like most jobs work anyway.
Hijacking the transition. Just got to.
Oh, James, hi.
HR.
This is awkward.
What do you think about what you're listening to while you work at your desk doing whatever you're doing?
I don't pay attention to you guys.
I didn't.
That's not true.
That's a lie.
Because you're asking me questions in my text messages.
I texted Jason and I was like, why are you so creepy sounding? That is uncomfortable. But he said it's because he's a pirate.
Who's creepy sounding?
Jason.
Me.
Barnabas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Your name's Barnabas, Letitia, Alistair, and Holman?
Mm-hmm. Holman. Correct.
Holman. All right.
You should get like some Bluetooth
headphones. I feel creeped out by Matt.
Just as a person?
Yeah,
putting general. Messages in my head that I can't without
message.
Yeah, I don't like it at all.
Yeah, that is creepy.
Whoa,
I mentioned this at all. In our online game that like how terrifying would it be as a person to just all of a sudden you hear somebody else's voice in your head and they're telling you something specific
that doesn't
you know?
Happen to you on a regular basis.
Well, not with motive.
It's different voices each time. So,
Well, yeah, especially if you're one of those people who apparently don't have a thought train.
Like Jared,
and all of a sudden a whole other voice pops in your head. It's like, eat the cheeseburger. Yeah.
I've never been able to stop thinking about Jared not having an inner monologue since we talked about that like a year ago.
I've talked to my therapist about it twice.
So you have an inner monologue going on about Jared's lack of an inner monologue.
Yep, that is correct.
Yeah, okay.
And that's why inner monologue sucks.
I also just didn't realize that, I don't know, I just had this feeling after that where I was just like, oh, my life could be so much better. Like, this is why Jared is such a good person.
So here's a question. Are people that don't have thought, like internal monologues, are they NPCs?
Oh man, that's a good question.
Is Jared an NPC?
Or is it the other way around?
Everything's impossible.
Are they the PCs?
It's all.
And those of us who do have voices are just being told what to do by the computer simulator.
That's true.
There's no such thing as free will.
Let me just tell you one thing that I did notice listening to you guys before I leave, which is that
we're all awesome and you like us all.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Thank you.
Terrible.
That's all I want to hear.
You're all awesome and I like you all. No, that I came in maybe with the last like 15 minutes of your last episode to go. And within that time, Ryan mentioned Delta Green and Matt mentioned Orgonomics and Jason talked about Perdido Street Station and Trent said something about capitalism. And I was like,
capitalism.
All of you are such a brand. Like you guys all have your thing.
Yep.
So anyway,
I
never
think
changed.
We mentioned Delta Green within the first 5 minutes of this recording. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jane, how do you feel about co-GMing two games? Yeah, that's right. That's what she's doing, everybody.
Are you just are you outing me that I'm more of a nerd than I pretend to be
she's
on this podcast?
She's co-GMing both the Delft Green games.
Oh,
BT
that's
Dubs.
Great. Yeah, that's great. She's co-GM of this too.
It's been extremely helpful.
Listen to that.
To just be like,
listen to how nice Ryan is to me. Guys.
Want you to say hi. I'm Jane, and I'm a fucking nerd.
Never.
I'm going to make my wife make fun of you for this.
Oh, she already does. Oh, okay. She already does. Yeah. Casey is ruthless, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. But it is funny because I was always the like, I'm not a nerd. I don't play these games. And it's like, now I am on this podcast full time and co-GMing three games. I would say I'm not co-GMing your Delta Green games. We just talk about them.
We talk about them.
What's the difference?
Yeah. I don't have any input on like the rules.
James? What does Rory do whenever he's co-GMing with you?
Rory knows everything about these games. Like Rory has like structural ideas. And usually when I talk to Ryan about Delta Green, he's just like, I have all these good ideas. And I'm like, yeah, that's a great idea. And he's like, cool.
That's actually my,
Yeah.
that's actually fair.
I'm just here to helpfully reinforce Ryan that he has good ideas.
I'm thinking
really
about doing this. There's one thing that I ran by that wasn't in the book that I was like, I kind of want to change this. What do you think? She's like, oh, that's a great idea. Mm. I was like, oh, okay, we're
is
doing
this
that.
For Gamescapes?
Yeah.
What's the other one called? I forgot.
Night at the Opera.
Yeah.
The reason that I love that, well, there's a lot of reasons. It's really fun. The Delta Green material is just so cool. And it's fun to talk to my friend about it. But one of my favorite parts of it is that you all play in this game. And I feel like... so much a sense of revenge when I'm just like, how can I make the worst things happen to their characters?
I'm telling you,
I should do it to ourselves.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as free will in Delta Green
or in life in general.
Nope.
There you go.
Yeah.
Should we just do this instead of you guys play today?
Which actually makes me really upset.
James,
because
so sad.
If there's no free will and I had no choice what I was going to actually build my character as, why did I fuck with it for 3 straight weeks?
Because the simulation programmed you too.
And speaking of the simulation programming us.
oh, he's back. This is...
Everybody quiet down.
He put his Tom Hanks, he took his Tom Hanks mask off.
Looks like the HR lady's the one that's got to go.
Hey!
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Everyone say hi. Say bye to Jane.
Bye, Jane.
Listeners.
Bye, Jane.
Bye, Jane. Well, you know what else... people are saying goodbye to alignment as they shift over to the remaster of Pathfinder Second Edition, and in its place, unfortunately, not every gaming group can replace something with Jane, because it's a pity. Most gaming groups would be better that way. But what Paizo has recommended people replace alignment in Second Edition with, and we've talked about this, is Edicts and Anathema. And a lot of those were originally used around deities and whether they're edicts and anathema. So like if you're really closely tied to a deity, it's really easy to take some of their edicts and anathema and work that in. So I wanted to ask, as we're getting to know these characters really briefly, because we had a little bit of banter already at the top, but I'm curious for those of you who are comfortable sharing it, what like faiths do these characters have, or what is some of their edicts or anathema? What are some of their morality factors? Anyone have something they can share about kind of what are their characters' drives?
I mean, I can go real quick.
Sure.
For Alistair, he's very interested in just self-preservation.
Okay, classic.
He doesn't have any... He's not an atheist, obviously, because it's kind of weird to be an atheist in Galarian, because like the gods walk amongst us kind of thing. But he doesn't put any faith in them or any kind of... Yeah, any kind of faith in them. So he's really interested in preserving himself and people he cares about. And any means necessary.
Okay. And justify the means kind of person?
Yeah, he's willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that he and his loved ones survive.
What do you think would be something that's anathema to your character? Like, what do you think would be very opposed to, what would they not do? Or what's a philosophy that's just very opposite of
sacrificing themselves for like somebody else that they don't know, like being the hero?
Yeah, I'll jump in. This is pulling the veil back on my character. I guess on Matt's character as well. So I'm playing a changeling. Something I've been super interested in ever since the Versatile Heritages. This is Versatile Heritages had come out.
Yes.
And so I'm a changeling, and I think my story was that I actually left somewhere in the Stolen Lands when I was 16, 17-ish.
Okay.
And then actually went to Daggermark and met Barnabas, and then we kind of did our thing. And then going to sea, I kind of found like I had a knack for navigating by the stars. And that was kind of part of how I, you know, my job, and then kind of being up at night and just kind of like finding some solace in that. And using the stars as a way to navigate myself away from the call, as it were. Okay. And so it's like, I feel myself being pulled this way, but I can always reach up and look in there. And those are always going to be in a specific shape that I can use to kind of help myself guide from. So just, but looking at this, the anathema or the edicts is just spends time stargazing or meditating in moonlight. Mm. And then aid those who live in regions where Zonkulthan or regions that espouse a knight as a bastion for evil hold sway, help the desperate or forlorn to see potential in a better and life future. And so I kind of like using that as my own thing to like, even though you're being called and even though this is kind of supposed to be your fate, even though I don't have any free will at all and I can't change it, because mm-hmm. that's the theme of the day, to kind of like, to almost give myself hope, you know, who the desperate or fortunate, because I do feel desperate to escape this inevitability, as it says. And the anathema for the Cosmic Caravan is...
is a religion, the Cosmic Caravan.
Yeah, this Cosmic Caravan is something newish. It came out in... I think this was Gods and Magic. Yeah, Gods and Magic came out in Gods and Magic.
Oh, is it one of the pantheons then? Like
it's a pantheon, and it's really big in the... What's a 1 to 10 level dungeon crawl that came out just a little while ago? That's like it's a springs off the beginner box.
Oh, the Abomination Vaults?
Abomination Vaults is like, there's a big Cosmic Caravan focus in there too.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I think is really cool. So yeah, just like the knight isn't evil, like, you know, and I think that goes with like the lantern and bringing light into there and kind of, so yeah. Hmm.
It's cool to see where characters that have a connection to religion that isn't even divine magic can kind of draw some of their edicts and anathema. Or in some cases, I've talked to some players who sort of pick what is the god that they feel like their character would worship based on, is there that alignment of like, mm-hmm. I'm not looking to them for divine power, but do they espouse something that I also really care about or this character would care about?
Yeah, I'll jump off just because mine actually does come from Gods and Magic as well. I went with Andaletta, the Grandmother Crow.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So her whole thing is generally like there's a clear distinction between guilt and innocence. There's no in between, but that there should always be a path back to the light for people who show signs of redemption or for people falsely accused.
So is she like allied with Sarenrae then? Or?
I mean, that's a good question. I don't know. But Pantheon would be the enlightened scholar's path.
Ooh.
But so her, also a big part of her stuff is protection of the bereaved. So, protection of family and of children, that sort of thing.
Okay.
So that will be very important for Letitia.
Okay. Jason, anything for Barty?
Bartibus is a storm survivor.
Okay.
So there's some strong ties to Gozra, not as like a divinity that gives him special abilities, but just as a kind of a, he watched over me during the storm and I survived kind of thing. But for him, pirate ship was his whole life, so it's taken away, but the ship is the ship, and he's trying to keep the members of the crew that are left together. So right now there's only a few of them, and only one of them is here with him, and so that's just something he keeps in mind, is like, we were a pirate ship, or a ship is a chosen family, and that's where I want to keep that together.
Hmm. Any reflection of Jason in that character?
No, actually, it is a reflection of Izzy Hands from Our Flag Means Death.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I know you and I are both big fans of that.
Love that.
All right. Well, you know what else I'm a big fan of? This adventure and where it's going next. But I think there was a little bit of uncertainty as to what happens next. And we were left wondering at the end of the last episode, what is it that Timic has to offer all of you? So you're standing outside the cabin that's become his sort of safe house for at least a few days. You just talked with him, and I believe what he'd asked was, do you know, was help sent to, have you checked on Remela?
Yeah.
That's right where we ended. So let's come back to that scene, sleet and hail pouring down. Pouring down. Oh, I turned down the wonderful sirenscape. There we go. Some sleet and hail.
It's pouring now.
It's really pouring.
Yeah. How many horses?
The horses are really upset.
They are upset.
So upset.
There's a lot of near the stables.
Whinnying.
Apparently, there are some horses nearby.
Okay.
Sirenscape, put them into the game.
Flavor horses.
I love the thunder when it comes in. It's like so awesome.
So, what's next?
I forgot his name. Bosch. Bosch would had sent some security to.
You didn't see that. You just saw Timic's request for security.
Did he get the request? Yeah.
All we saw was your request.
We don't know if anyone was sent.
Oh. What? Are these requests, are they pretty... Can you trust them? Do they usually get in place without any, like, oversight or...
Well, I would just send them to Bosk and he would take care of it.
Why did
you say he's dead?
Why did she need extra protection?
Well, I felt like we were worried that someone might be trying to hunt me down, but it sounds like they are, and they've killed Bosk and they've killed his contact in the military, and well, she's been helping me out, so oh God, I wonder if she's next.
Helping with your story.
What?
What's your story?
I suppose I should tell you.
Why were these fine people hired to...
I don't know.
Take you out of the city.
I've been looking into things in the sewers, been trying to map them and understand this old sewer system better and see what's down there, explore what's growing and living in this area, but I don't know. Look, I can't say much more right now.
Can I sense motive?
Yeah, sure.
Hiding something?
Yeah. It's a perception check. As opposed to it being a whole separate skill.
I'm gonna roll one,
too. Okay. Got some sense perceptions.
Dirty 20.
Hey.
16.
Your read on this, Alistair, is that he's scared. He's nervous for his life, obviously. And the fact that the one person who was really advocating for him and helping him is dead is not a good sign. The military contact who oversees this safe house, dead as well, also not good. Probably can't stay here longer. If he's holding anything back, it's just that, yes, you have the right name, but... You gave, like, the right passcode, but he's wondering what's in it for all of you. He's smart enough to know that people are not just altruistic. And so I think he's at a certain point of, like, at what point do I stop saying things? If they want me, they might want something from me.
Can I do a diplomacy check?
100%, yeah. What are you trying to convince him to do?
To trust us.
Okay, yeah. Making an impression.
Is it hidden or open?
Yeah, so here's the thing. To fully make an impression on someone, it takes 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So we can just tick this up to noon if you want.
Mm. I mean, I don't know. We're in a hurry. So I would... Okay.
We could force him to leave with us, and on the way, while we've got him by the scruff of his neck, you could try to make him trust us.
That's true. Well, I mean, I'm really curious why... Like, why you specifically were hired to...
What did you find in the... You said something's growing down there. What did you find in the sewers?
Well, I mean, all sorts of things grow in the sewers, right?
Maybe this has to be something specific.
I suppose I don't have all of the pieces. I report back to Bosk and I don't know, I think he suspected some things based on my information, and I don't know what else he had from others.
Can you give us the pieces you have?
I'd give them to Bosk.
It's all the notes we found.
Okay.
Maps. Field reports.
We found a list, and it's your names on it, along with some of the other dead.
Were there other names on there?
Yes, it was.
We got Romula, your name, and Pemek.
Oh no, her name's on there.
Which
Pemek?
Who should we try to help first?
Please, you have to help her, please.
All right.
Which one?
Romula, please.
And what happens if we leave you alone?
I can hide out here. Oh, God, I don't know.
Have you come across in your travels within the sewers, your very brave travels within the sewers, by the way, have you come across any creatures that can change their appearance?
I how would I know?
That's a fair point.
It's a fair point. We have some indentations.
Leave impressions.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's what he meant.
I have a feeling that the person that we are pursuing, or the person that's pursuing you, has the ability to change their appearance. We were following some tracks earlier,
many of those in the Assassin's Guild are skilled at that. The right bit of wool in the cheek, paint on the face, and you can look like another.
But changing from a dwarf to a human?
Well, I suppose that's a little more difficult.
Yes.
The gnome, like, you see the gnome, like, straightening up to try to seem taller and then, like, hunching down a little bit, like, going back and forth, like, yeah, okay. You can see them, like, running it through in their head. No, you're right. That would be more difficult.
Yes. Do you know of anyone within the city who might have that power, that's known that they have that power?
I certainly don't know of anyone which that's known. I feel like if that was some power you had, you wouldn't want people to know about it.
Is there somewhere we could keep you that's not... A safe house that maybe just you know?
I don't know. Anywhere I know is here. And it's, or of course, back at the bar, which sounds like...
I guess you're coming with us, then.
What? Oh, okay.
Can you fight?
I can try.
Oh, that sounds like no.
You can stay back here with me.
I can cast a spell or two.
I also have a request of you.
Yes?
I understand that you're good at finding people.
It's sort of what I do. I find things.
I'm people. Old, old friends with Bosk.
Sure.
And he was going to send me to you for a task, so I may as well just give it to you now. I need you to locate my son.
Okay.
His name is Arthur Monmouth.
Right.
What?
Oh. Shit. Spoilers, whoa. Trent!
Whoa.
Man.
I suppose so. We can talk about this later. I'll tell you what, if you get me out of this, you do what you can to help me, I'll help you find him.
This will be one of the most important tasks you're given in your life, I assure you.
Oh, right now it's the one I have is trying to stay alive. So you'll excuse me if
that's
that takes
important.
Priority.
That's pretty important.
He's got a point there. Yes.
That's fair.
Great point.
Arthur, huh? Sounds like a misogynist.
Oh, yeah, you'd be surprised. Yes, you'd be surprised.
Are we going now, please, to the distillery? We have to do everything we can.
Can you disguise yourself at all?
I can pull this hood up, and he pulls his hood up over his head. Oh. It does a decent job.
Terrifying.
It looks pretty good.
Before we leave, can you tell us a little bit more about Pemmick? Is Pemmick someone that can be trusted?
I think we should talk about it on the way.
I don't really know that.
It's raining really hard outside, and I don't like talking in the rain.
You'll get over it. Talk to him in his head.
That's true. I could do that.
Wait, how can't talk you can do that? That's weird.
Seems intrusive.
Yeah. Then I send a message to Letitia. I said, of course I can.
Ah.
You look it's like you a just, brain freeze.
Yeah. Ah.
All right. So it's a 40-minute walk. It's a 40-minute by foot to get there.
There's horses nearby, no?
Hey.
What's the plan?
Nice.
Talk to me.
Let's go. I'd talk say to me, there and maybe even drop him off at the place where the dwarf is dead if he doesn't want to go the whole way.
Now, that would be longer to go there.
Oh,
than
okay.
I think right now the safest thing for him to stay with us.
Somehow got a bag of holding, we could put you in it, and you have like a certain number of rounds. We could take you out every now and every so often.
You got a bag of holding for you.
You're right home. You have a bonus to constitution, so it'd actually be longer.
Yes.
I don't have a bag of holding, I'm sorry.
Well, what's your preference? Bad. Do you want to come with us and probably face some extremely dangerous situations?
Well, I guess at this point, and he sort of looks around like, you've all been talking to me, people have seen me here, the safe house is no longer that, especially if Brenda's been compromised.
Is there anywhere in the sewers you could hide?
Fuck no.
You don't want to hide down there?
Not really, it stinks.
Is the sewers a good way for us to traverse from place to place? Is
a
shortcut?
If you want to take longer, but not want to be seen.
Okay, let's go.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess we're going
to... So,
he like rubs some dirt on his face and makes him look muddy and like a commoner.
His cloak already looks pretty disgustingly muddy.
You're disgusting, but we can go.
Is there someone in combat outside who would stick back a little bit? Maybe you should stick near them.
You can walk with me, Timic. It's okay.
So, how are you all getting over there? You just walking down?
I guess we're...
Yeah, I guess we gotta like hightail
it. I wasn't sure how serious you were about stealing a horse.
Oh no, I think that we would probably even move with like a... wouldn't say twice as fast, but we're probably like...
No, this is what
walking.
I say. If you all want to try to hustle... Like, I'll allow some athletics checks to cut down on time.
Sure.
Is there any way that we could use someone's geography skills to find a shorter path to the...
Ooh, okay, I like this problem solving. I'm open for a few.
That's a good one.
Sure. I'll take some, like, early season Sherlock-style pathfinding.
We're going to go the way the grandmother crow flies.
Hmm. Slowly in circles.
Man.
Listing leftward.
15.
Okay. Sure. It's a lore.
You say 10 minutes.
I'll get that as a modifier. Does anyone else have anything they can do to speed this up?
No.
Everyone's looking over character
sheets.
Well, level 2 is only so much.
Yeah.
I have underworld lore. I don't really know what that means.
Could maybe try
actually, underworld lore would have been a great way to sort of like, and maybe that's probably how you understood. Remember the like euphemisms for how they talk about specialists and all of that? That sort of underworld lore would be knowing a lot of that sort of stuff. Okay. Understanding the criminal underworld.
I want to bottle cap it. I know I rolled high, but I want to roll high as fuck.
Okay. Mm.
Or not bottle cap it. What do we use?
Patches.
Well, wherever it is.
You had one more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's right here. There it is.
Oh, turning it in. All right.
I just want to nail this fucking shit.
Yeah, so that's the danger.
Yep. Did you roll worse?
Yep.
Because you have to use a new result.
Yep. I rolled 13. Not much worse. but worse.
That is worse. Are there any other patches around? Anyone else going to patch Jason's patch?
I have, I don't know if this helps, but ooh, I have the nocturnal navigator background. So okay, like navigating by the stars or like sensing direction or helping that.
Okay.
Pretty, I mean, cloudy.
Yeah, it's pretty cloudy. It's super rainy. I have to be, it's got to be clear, so it doesn't really make sense.
And you're like, and it's always going to be cloudy and rainy this entire
rest of your life.
Anytime you ever play this character,
actually, it's going to be raining.
The tracks just go every which way. You can't really tell.
Hilarious. All right.
Anyone else have things they want to do? Otherwise, I'm going to ask for your choice of either athletics or a fortitude or a straight constitution check.
For all of
actually,
us?
I'll take fortitude. Athletics or fortitude for each person. Athletics for just straight running. Fortitude for being able to keep up a pace that maybe you're not as athletically conditioned for.
Okay. I'm going to go
Jason, here's
for
what I'll say. That is still a success because lures have lower DCs.
Yeah.
But you did almost miss it. You did almost miss it.
Yeah, no, I was like, let me get a 20, and like all of a sudden an arrow pops up and is like, follow this arrow.
Mm-hmm. Like you're playing Grand Theft Auto or something. Mm-hmm.
I rolled a
what do you got?
18 fortitude.
Okay, 1842. So you're moving quite fast. You're moving mm-hmm. well. You're not a conditioned athlete, but like you're holding up. You're holding it up pretty well. Other folks, what do you got?
21 athletics.
Or am I using that?
That was your first roll to tell me where to go. And now you're giving me either athletics or fortitude to get there quickly.
21 athletics.
21 athletics. That's solid.
It's going to be a 24 fortitude.
Oh shit!
Wow.
Okay. You rock.
15
I got a really good saves on this character.
Mm. Okay. So here's what I'm going to say. This is normally 40 minutes at walking. I'm going to say running can at least have that down to 20 minutes.
Nice. Dude, a 20-minute run is that's a lot.
That's intense.
Yeah.
It's like a serious workout.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like 5K.
Yeah. I'm not saying like a 20-minute sprint.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will say that that's a part of why I also allowed fortitude. Like if you're a runner.
With gear, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah. It's wild. Okay.
This is a jaunt.
Along the way, mm-hmm. I'm assuming since we're running or hurrying, conversations can't really take place very well.
It's going to be a bit to a minimum.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I've always talked about how time is a factor, and I've got a question for you, because we have different successes here. Holman.
Yes.
You critically succeeded. The DC's been lowered on this because mm-hmm. of the navigation check by Jason. Do you want to arrive as a group, or with your success, you can get there sooner?
Sooner or later.
This is a you call.
Yeah.
Sooner.
All right. So you're going to get there a few minutes ahead. I'm going to say the rest of you are a little bit behind, but you do well. You cover a 40-minute walk in 20 minutes, which doesn't seem ridiculous for running. I don't know what Holman's background is, but apparently you're athletic.
Mm-hmm.
You make it there in 10 minutes, just under, even. You haul ass.
He used to crush the BRT when we were...
We're like, all right, we're going to run. And he's just like... Yeah. Boom.
Yeah. I feel like everyone's been on that before, where you're like, everyone's like, let's go on a 5K fun run together. And one person just like, boom. You're like, well, we will see them at the finish line. Fuck it.
He's like that.
Impressive.
So she takes off. So Holman's, boom, she's out of
she's
there.
She's like that, sorry.
And let's talk about what you see when you get there, right? You managed to make it to this distillery first. And you show up, just scrolling through all my notes. You make it to this, you know what, let's use the Seedy Tavern, just for fun. You show up into this distillery. And you walk right in here.
Mm-hmm.
Decently crowded, not packed, but decently crowded.
Neckbeards everywhere.
And you can see pipes lining the rafters of this relatively squat building, channeling runoff from Daggermark's curtain wall, because you're now the southern edge of the city, channeling runoff from Daggermark's curtain wall into large collection barrels. Simple wooden chairs and tables fill the main room, separated from the barrels by a bar stocked with whiskey. A single staircase seems to be leading down to a lower chamber with packed earth kind of underneath it. So it's a little bit of a unique place. Yeah, like you'll go in, there's sort of like a raised platform with a bar behind it, and then it's sort of like down into packed earth on a lower level is another sort of drinking area where they sort of expanded but didn't do like a finished floor, basically. And you, bam, you bust in. Door slams as you bust in with the rain and sleet coming down. Fortunately, no one can tell how sweaty you are because you're just covered in rain and sleet. And you're in the bar. What do you do? Holman, Ryan.
Let's do, like, I'm going to walk to the bar. Like, okay. I'm just, you know, going to get a drink. And I'm going to pull that single silver piece out that I had before.
Your lucky silver piece?
My lucky silver piece, as it is. Mm-hmm. It's the last bit of money I had from everything. And I'm going to put it on the bar. Scanning the room, do I see anybody? I guess we don't know what Romulus looks like, right? That's where we're, yeah.
Remula.
And I'm gonna buy a drink and start gabbing up the bartender.
All right, so you're walking up to the bar. You're at the bar. You're right next to a curly-haired kind of woman who seems to be trying to order as well. And you do see a woman kind of behind the bar. I'm trying to find my notes on what she looks like. And if I don't find it here in just a second, I'm going to make it up. Okay, so you see behind the bar a rather tall, broad-faced woman, red hair and sort of a bit of a ruddy complexion, looks up at you. Both you and there's this the curly-haired kind of woman mm-hmm. next to the other patron. And she sort of nods at you, like acknowledges that you're there, but goes over to the other woman first, like, oh, what can I get for you? And you see that they're kind of talking for a second. You're sort of just sort of checking the room out in this time.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a perception check.
Open?
Yeah. Oh, Ryan's looking for the die, finding that result.
18.
18. Okay. You're checking around. Nothing too wild. There's other folks that kind of stand out to you. See another man at the bar, a dwarf that's just like barely on top of his bar stool, like keeping it together. Quite a few spills around his feet. You see looks like maybe a half elven woman or an elven woman of some kind reading a book by a window.
I'm going to slide down to the woman in red and the...
That's the bartender?
The curly-haired woman who's ordering the drink, yes. And the bartender. And yeah. I'm going to kind of shoulder up to them. Be like, is it okay if I buy your drink for you? I'm just so excited. I'm meeting a friend here. And her name's Remula. I don't know if you guys know her. I haven't seen her in so long.
And the bartender just kind of gives you this really weird look.
I'm sorry. Do you know something about her that I don't? It's kind of like a blind date that we've been kind of set up. I'm nervous. I'm excited.
Well, she has the same name as me, but I'm certainly not going to be here on a date.
Oh, that's so funny. Somebody said that we were supposed to meet and we were going to, you know. Yeah. And, so you said she's the bartender.
The bartender.
Pulls a wand out.
And then I pull out my silver piece and I was like, I'm so sorry to interrupt. Can I buy this for you? And I just kind of slide it over and then make a deception check to like, you know.
Yeah, give me a deception check. And sure, if the curly-haired woman at the bar like next to you like, seems kind of taken aback for a second, then just sort of like staring at you while you're doing this.
I'm sorry, it'll just be a second. This just must be a mistake of some sort. I rolled poorly. Patch.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Somebody you can trust over 30.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's one of my dad's old B-52 patches. All right. What we got?
That is better. That's going to be a 21.
Okay. So, sort of looks at you and then sort of just like shrugs and moves her head back and forth, jingles an earring on one of her ears, and just looks back at the bartender and sort of waits while she's pulling together a drink. You're deceiving.
Who jingles the earring?
The curly hair, the patron, the other patron is ordering. She only has one earring on.
When she jingles it, I'm going to roll an esoteric lore or something to do with talismans to see if I think she's like activating something.
Sure. Interesting. Okay.
19.
Okay, so that's fine. While you're doing that, so I'm going to say that right now your active exploration activity is watch. Like you're observing this patron for a second. And so while the bartender is sort of playing out this conversation of like, that's my name, but that's, I'm certainly not here on a date. I'm working. This is my distillery, actually. You do notice this curly haired woman, like kind of like as she's like leaning at the bar, her hand just goes over a glass that's sitting behind the bar, like kind of where near the bartender's working.
I'm going to reach in. I'm going to reach over and like, oh, is this drink for me? I'm going to grab the cup, pull it in front of me,
and
reach inside my jacket.
And just like, oh, no, that's my drink, actually. As you're doing this.
Pull my pistol out and put it in the back of the woman that just rubbed her thing on the bar and said, Remula, this woman's trying to kill you.
Oh!
Oh, shit. All right.
Yeah!
Well, this escalated quickly. So I think here's what we're going to do.
I've been playing Pathfinder in a really long time.
So all of you are at least still... I mean,
oh, my
right?
God, yeah. It's 8 minutes behind.
8.5 minutes, yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember in Superbad where they're trying to chase the kids and they're like, he's the best killer. Yeah. I'm imagining that's what's happening. They're like, I don't know where he's at.
Because Michael Cera's just running.
Yeah. He's the best killer.
So we've been playing some of this out in real time. I'm trying to keep an eye on the timer. It's probably been, I mean, those who are listening can go back and check, but I'm going to say it's been about 3 minutes.
Okay.
So I'm going to say all of you are still 5 minutes or 50 rounds out.
Okay. Okay.
I think I got this. I have a patch. I have one patch. It's a Weyland-Yutani patch.
Oh, yeah, nothing could go wrong with that.
If you're dead when I get there, it's not going to go well.
Mm-hmm. It's just like everybody in the bar is just like
two of us.
Yes. I'm very interested to see how this goes. So do you feel like you're being stealthy? Do you feel like you're being deceptive?
Wait,
is deception still a skill check?
Yes. Yep. I think probably deception.
I would allow you to roll, and we're just going to shift this into encounter time. I'm not saying it's combat. Who knows who this woman is? It might be no one. She might just be clumsy. But I'd like you to give me a deception check.
Don't mind if I do.
Sure. So you're going to put that together. I'm just going to take some notes over
which
here.
Which die is it?
The clear one.
Clear one.
9. The other one's a 6.
Let's do this.
Oh, we're patching this.
All right.
I need one of those back.
Patch economy is flowing. Let me just go ahead and move these other characters down here.
22.
Okay. Well, because it's Pathfinder. There's a room for that. So, oh God, this is going to be worse. All right. She's instantly just going to look at you and, oh God, I don't like this at all.
He fires.
Yep, instantly, because the exact trigger here says if you exhaust this person's patience with persistent inquiries or catch them trying to poison Remula, they will drop their disguise and attack.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know what that means?
Let's do this.
All right, so I just took a brief break for a second to draw a little... To draw a distillery in here, but you know what? Let's just cut straight to some combat stuff.
One of your better drawings.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I like it. It's very good. And then I'm going to go ahead and put a pawn down on the map. I want to get this, background stuff going on first, just as I really want to get, Ryan's reaction.
Before Ryan gets down his, here. Trent, Matt, you think this is going to work?
I believe. I'm a believer.
I really hope that.
Ah!
Oh no!
I fucking knew it.
So you know what?
What is that?
That is a motherfucking doppelganger.
Let's pass that to Matt.
You're fucked.
Yeah, it's not. Well, I mean, in firsty,
I hate it.
It's gonna be rough. It's gonna be rough.
Its tongue is like 4 feet long.
So we're not going to do a full describe it drop, but who wants to describe what a little doppelganger looks like? You can pick that pawn up, take a look at it. It looks kind of like
the
gray.
The pale man from Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, mixed with Slender Man.
Yep, slender, pale man.
Did you guys see that
like alien gray head, big head thing?
Did you guys see the basketball player that dressed up like Slender Man for Halloween?
No.
Oh, I'll show it to you.
It's terrifying.
You ever see Alien Resurrection?
Oh, yeah.
It kind of looks like the human-alien hybrid at the end that gets sucked out
that
the little hole.
That was the best
hole.
One, right?
No, it's terrible.
I'm joking. I'm fucking joking.
Yeah. I've only ever watched that twice, and I can't watch it again. Like
twice, though?
I'll cycle through the movies and watch all of them, and I'll skip that one every time and just keep going.
I feel like
I like three. Like from a storyboard perspective.
I feel like they just killed everybody and it was dumb.
I feel compelled to note that it is completely naked and I hate that. I hate that.
I believe you said he was hot.
I believe you said that he was hot.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. That's definitely a t-shirt we should have. I believe you said he was hot.
Yeah. All right.
Can you give us a description of the old fella here?
Yeah, definitely not hot.
How about the hair?
Hair rating.
Don't yuck,
Trentium. Because it's no
hair rating. Ooh, that's going to be a negative 12 on the scale of 1 to 10.
I'm not sure there's hair on its body.
And I'm concerned about how into this tongue situation Trent is.
Well, I can't help but notice that its tongue is prominent.
We're not fat shaming anybody here.
Or tongue shaming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some people have abnormally long tongues.
So it will begin its turn with the reaction. As combat begins, it will use the reaction into the charade. The doppelganger is transformed with changed shape, and another creature moves adjacent to it or takes a hostile action against it.
Mm-hmm.
As a reaction, it reverts to its natural form and can make a strike against the triggering creature.
Ugh.
If the creature was unaware that the doppelganger was in disguise, the creature is flat-footed against this attack.
Yeesh.
I'd like to make an argument that the bartender should be on my side for this combat.
Sure, you know what? Grab that other miniature over there. Doesn't matter which one, and put it on the other side of the bar. There is a bartender.
Perfect. That's all. It's my hype lady.
Sure.
Dude, mm-hmm. Lindsay killed a giant, so you know.
Yeah.
True.
She's an adventurer. All right, let me go ahead and write down.
You think a bartender's never been in a scrap?
That's fair. Actually,
she owns a distillery.
Yeah, I'm actually. When that doppelganger changes.
Uh-huh.
What is everybody else in that bar doing?
Screams. Just
they're just running out the door.
Yeah, there are.
So as we're running towards it, as we get closer, that the cards fell forward, lasts 50 rounds.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. I think you're all about 4 minutes out, and
four
you do
out.
See people piling out of this bar. So when it comes to, you know what? Here's what I'd like you all to do. Go ahead and roll initiative for me anyway during this first round. And then after that, when it comes to your turn, I'll allow you to make athletics checks to try to get there sooner.
Okay.
Push to that extra
sprint. What
are
we rolling initiative with?
Your choice. You can roll initiative with athletics or fortitude.
Fortitude, definitely.
Because once again, you're just like, how winded are you going to be arriving there?
19.
Perfect. 19 for Alistair. What do we got for initiative on other folks?
Dirty 20.
Okay. Modified 20. Letitia, what's your initiative?
That was a 10.
Okay. Ryan, what are you celebrating?
I rolled a 27.
You already have initiative, didn't you?
I didn't roll anything. I don't know if you want me to roll initiative. I haven't rolled for initiative.
Oh,
I just said,
that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, roll initiative with your choice here of perception or deception.
28.
Okay. So this creature will get to act first because it's a reaction.
I understand.
You will then be first in the turn order. So this doppelganger will whip out at you and will its long fingers, strong claws. I'm going to use that die, the cursed die, and the headlopper die.
Oh no, this is not good for you.
And it's going to swing. I'm going to say you're not flat-footed to it. You knew that there was a shape changer in play of some kind, and you knew that something was up with this person.
This is how Biff died.
That's true.
Here we go. Ooh, that's a good roll. How do we feel about 27 to hit?
27 hits.
Is that a crit?
It is not.
Oh, damn.
Nice.
Can we grab some dice? Okay. Well, really split the numbers there. 12 points of damage.
Okay.
And
that's not good.
It's now your turn.
That's not good. I'm going to...
You are point blank next to this creature. You do expressly have your pistol in hand.
I do. I'm going to exploit vulnerability.
Oh, shit.
This is a special... I just closed this. I should open it back up. I get to make an esoteric lore check against this character to see if I know anything about them. This counts as a recall knowledge, more or less.
Yep, I'll let you roll this.
Roll the 21.
Okay.
And if it... So the way this works, let me pull the chart up for you.
This is a society that you need to roll, right?
But I get to use esoteric lore
So this is a success.
Mm. Yeah. So a success... On a success, you give me...
A piece of knowledge and potential weaknesses.
Any potential weaknesses. So on a success, you recall an important fact about the creature, learning its highest weakness or one of its highest weaknesses. If it has multiple of the same value but not its other weaknesses, resistances, or immunities, you can exploit either the creature's mortal weakness or personal antithesis. Your unarmed and weapon strikes against the creature also become magical if they weren't already.
Well, because it's Pathfinder, there's a rule for that. You're about to have to use personal antithesis because this creature does not have...
That's totally fine.
Now, because it's still a recall knowledge, I will give you that it's we that you feel like of everything else, it seems fast, seems focused mentally. You think that probably its physical form is its most frail point. Mm. If you're thinking about the three big saves.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
So then I'm going to take a step back.
Okay. So one action to do this.
One action to do this.
One action to step.
Yep. So the personal antithesis adds 3 points of damage to anything I do, and I'm going
to... It creates a special weakness 3 yep. against just
weakness
this creature.
Weakness 3 just for me. Until later levels, I can share that around, and ooh. Then I'm going to shoot... So yeah, 5 foot step towards y'all if you want to pull that for me. And then here goes yeah, the flintlock pistol in the face. I'm going to roll 20 just for fun.
It'd be really fun if you did.
Ooh. How is a 25 to hit?
That's a hit.
Okay.
Damn. I was hoping for a crit.
Oh. As a free action, I want to activate my potency crystal.
Oh.
To my potency crystal that was installed in my gun.
So that makes what, a +1 in striking?
+1 striking for the entire, for this round, more or less. So it's just
26?
So that'll be a 26 to hit.
Come on, crit.
If it was flat-footed, it'd be a crit.
Damn.
But not flat-footed.
Let me
but
see.
That's a hit.
What
the striking is nice.
What else I got? So this will be 2d4 plus 10.
2d4 plus 10.
Thaumaturge hits really hard. Really cool.
Wait, is your pistol only a D4?
It's a D4.
Is it like a Derringer?
Flintlock.
It's a flintlock. All the pistols are really low damage, but because I get the +2 for my implements empowerment because I'm holding my implement, and then I get the +3 for the personal antithesis, so it's essentially 2D4 plus 10.
All right, sure.
So there's a 4, and there's a 7, so 17 points of damage.
Yeah, that's pretty good damage for
level
2. All
right, that's a good open. All right. Let's go ahead and write down 17.
It did 12 to you.
Yeah.
And you did 17 back. So it
seems like a fair trade.
Yeah.
How many hit points do you have? Like 60, 70?
No.
Sadly, no.
It's so bad.
Well, you know what? Because you did lobby for it, and I feel like I did find, and you know what? Paizo. I have found barkeep stats.
Amazing.
Nice.
Level 1 barkeep. I do find it very fun. It's in a monster group called Publicans. There's also a barkeep, a drunkard, an innkeep, and a server. Stats for all of those.
Bring them all in. Bring them all in.
There's got to be at least 10 drunkards in there that are willing to fight.
There's a drunkard in the corner.
Boom with the gun because it's concussive.
I mean,
too,
that dwarf
by the way,
is
I don't
drunk,
know what that means.
And now he's ready to fight. I mean, that's what dwarves do, right?
Did we just hear a gunshot go off too?
Yeah, 100%.
And we're like, oh, fuck.
So the barkeep...
I know that gun.
...is going to, as a... So she's going to take a step away, because I think she's scared. So she'll step back same direction as Holman. Had to look that up. And she is then going to use the ranged attack, Pewter Mug.
Perfect.
Here we go. Yeah,
I'll take it.
She's going to hurl her first Pewter Mug at the creature.
This is 1d4 minus 1 or something?
No, it's only a +3, but I rolled 19, which is a hit.
She's hell yeah.
To hell yes.
In the head with a Pewter Mug.
Gonk.
For 4 points of damage.
Hell yeah.
Which I guess, like, you know, anything counts, right?
Yeah.
Come on.
She has one action left.
That would really hurt, actually.
That really hurt. Honestly.
Oh my God, this is amazing. She does have a special
shoe.
She has a special 3-action ability. Called Barkeep's Advice that once per day can let someone else receive a bonus on a skill check.
Hey, that's pretty cool.
Nice.
That's fucking amazing. Oh, wait a second. I see her. She's been in enough bar fights to know how to throw a few punches. And while fighting in their bar, and they gain an additional bonus on to hit and deal additional non-lethal damage.
Nice.
So she's dealing non-lethal. So she's going to do extra damage.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, go from 4 to 5 points of damage.
What movie is it where the newscaster... Oh, it's on...
Anchorman?
No, it's The Long Shot. When that girl finally quits the Fox News stand-in and she fucking chucks that coffee cup at the dude's head.
Hits him right in the face.
Oh, that would hurt so bad.
It's just all you can hear is bink, and the guy like falls over.
Such a good sound.
All right, here we go. Final action on her turn. She's going to throw another mug.
Nice.
At this doppelganger. That's going to be a miss. Just flies right over the end of it.
It hits a patron. He's running.
The drunken dwarf is more enraged.
He fell off the stool. He actually didn't move while everyone was running.
Like that guy at Waffle House is just like, I'm going to keep eating.
I've heard people say that Waffle House is the real world equivalent of a
Burrow.
Fantasy world.
Absolutely.
Bar.
I've only ever eaten at Waffle House once.
We used to eat it at home all the time.
Dave Roby brought me there one time. And he was like, you've never eaten Waffle House. We're going right now. Like, we literally went right there.
Should we just do a Waffle House meetup in Denver?
There's one in Denver. There's one in Denver. So I love, and you know, going to undergrad in Georgia, there's Waffle Houses everywhere.
Yeah.
You just, oh, it's like middle of the night going to Waffle House.
Mm-hmm. Smothered, mm-hmm. covered in dice, baby.
And it's like going to Walmart. You just see the most interesting mm-hmm. parts of humanity mm-hmm. in a Waffle mm-hmm. House.
All right. Well, so Barnabas, it's your turn. You're seeing people freaking out. You're seeing the first couple start to run out of the bar and you hear a gunshot. You are about 4 minutes away at your current pace. So what I'm going to say is each successful athletics check is you're going to push yourself even harder. I know this is not really simulation equivalent, but I like the narrative here. You succeed on a difficult athletics check because you're already moving quickly.
Okay.
You'll get there 10 rounds earlier.
24.
Holy shit. So a difficult athletics check would be DC 18 in this case. So you are now 3 minutes out. Keep track of that for me.
Okay.
Next one down, Letitia.
Oh, crap.
No one gets Holman.
Oh, that's going to be a fail. That's a 10.
Yep. So just a fail. You're on normal pace. Alistair?
And it's either athletics or fortitude.
Now it's just athletics.
Mother.
Got those right. bands.
You are getting a plus one right now from those armbands. Ooh.
I got an 11.
I thought that was a 20, total. Bro.
Yeah, it looks like I see the big fat zero. And I was like, there's only two options.
You don't lose pace.
Yeah.
So you're doing fine. All right. Now, I skipped over its turn. Well, we'll take its turn now. No. I got so excited. I went straight to the bartender.
I mean, we're just running, so.
Yeah.
It went fast.
Yeah.
All right. Well, jeez. I always feel bad when I kill someone's character.
Hey, man.
Okay.
That's what makes this game good.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
When was that?
What?
When you felt bad for killing a character.
Also, mm-mm. how heroic, though, mm-hmm. of Holman to just be like, I have to save her, so I'm doing it.
But while we're here and you're about to roll, I want to say that in that dinner at Lion Lodge that I ran, I killed Jane.
Nice. She said, yeah, fuck you.
Okay, so I don't know. This might not be a hit. I rolled pretty bad. 15.
Miss.
Yeah,
All right. Oh, sorry. First action is step.
Step.
Mm. So second action was attack. Final action, swing at map. Now, of course, claws are agile. Cock die.
Mm. Fuck. Uh-oh. Natural 20. One? That's a natural 20.
No. It's not good for me. It's great for all of you, though. How you feel? Talk to me. About an 8 to hit?
8 to hit is a critical miss.
Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. So, Holman, it's now top of the order. It's your turn. You are not yet dead in a 1v1.
Okay. I'm going to...
Oh, God. I'm so excited.
I'm going to move... I'm going to take a move and like put me like right
now,
behind
are you stepping? Or are you potentially taking procking an AOO? Sorry, a reactive attack.
Step. Yeah.
Now this, you don't know if this creature has reactive attack.
True.
You could risk it. You could put it all on the line.
Okay.
What would a hero do?
Don't listen to the GM.
Send it.
Send it. Yeah. I'm going to go and base up on the other side of the table.
Oh, it's so like right dive there. Back behind the table.
Dive back behind the table.
Fuck yes.
I'm going to reload.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Flip the table on its side and shoot behind it.
Do it.
Oh, that's a good idea. I only have one action left, so it's either, yeah. I'm going to use...
You have cover at this point behind the table, because you're behind it.
And then...
Also, quick pause. I know we're running low on time. One of the cool things in the remaster, they modified Crossbow Ace. Mm-hmm. Remember, Crossbow Ace made it do more damage if it was a simple weapon? They said that's ridiculous, so now there is a martial weapon that does the amount of damage that the light crossbow would have done with Crossbow Ace. So it's a martial crossbow that does 1d10 damage and has a one action reload.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the Crossbow Ace feat now allows you to, as a part of a reload, either distract or improve your cover as a part of reloading.
That's like a gunslinger feat.
It almost is, but it's a crossbow specific feat, which is badass. You can now get like a +4 to AC while reloading your crossbow.
I think I should probably shoot that person in the face.
The bartender?
You shoot the bartender in the face.
No one expects it.
If we kill her and they don't, then they kind of lose, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't get...
That's a good point.
Yeah.
If we kill her first. Oh my god, I fucking love this game.
I love it too. I gotta shoot.
Okay.
Yep. Shooting.
You're shooting at the doppelganger.
At the doppelganger.
Not the bartender.
Not the bartender.
I respect the choice.
Mostly. Yeah. There it goes.
Oh god. Oh.
Natural.
That was a natural 20.
Fucking 20.
With a gun.
Oh god. Well, let's pull out the piezo critical hit deck.
Man, I'm just seeing it in my head. You like jump back behind the table. You just do a quick reload.
Some John Wick shit.
Oh yeah.
Line it right up.
All right. So here's the way I like to do this, Ryan, just to add an extra little element of randomness and
a
vamp for time.
Insta-kill.
Do me a favor. Roll a d4 or a d6 and tell me the number. When you hear the result, that's when I'm going to stop shuffling, and I will then draw down that deep to find your crit. 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Come
this is a piercing weapon, right? Fuck.
Yes.
Decapitation.
Mm-hmm. Eye patch for you.
Yes.
Triple damage.
Yes.
And if you have access to crit effects, which you don't yet, you can choose to dazzle them.
So just in case, I want to explain this. It is deadly. Okay. So right now it's a D8 plus, I believe, 5 because I've got my personal antithesis. I'm not 100% sure if the personal antithesis doubles, but I think that it does.
Everything except for any... The only thing that explicitly that does not double is dice that are added, additional dice that are added or additional damage that is added. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
On crit.
So this is going to be 3d8 plus 5 plus an additional 1d8.
And the personal antithesis is also tripled.
Yeah.
So
it's going to
be
3d8 plus 15.
Plus an additional d8.
Plus the additional
d8. So it's 4d8 plus 15.
Yep.
No. I was adding an extra d8 for the triple damage. So the normal crit
I thought your gun was striking again.
Oh, no. It was just till the end of my turn. That's a potency rune. It's just the end of your,
Yeah, so you're right. So it's tripled, which makes it 3. And then don't you add an extra one for deadly?
Yes.
So that is
3d8 plus 15
plus,
the 1d8.
So 4d8 plus 15 total.
Yeah. Okay.
Jesus.
Let's just do this. 6, 8 total. 8 total.
Oh, okay.
9 total.
Jesus.
Plus 15, 26, 24. And here's the last D8.
Terrible math.
33 damage.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
There's no way he's not dead.
The bullet,
if he's not dead, I'm going to run.
Yeah.
I'll just be out.
Rips into its head and blows out the back.
Nice.
With its alien physiology, though, you see it kind of like look over its shoulder at you, its jaw hanging by just one corner. Its tongue kind of begins to roll out as if tasting the air, looking for you. And it takes one half step towards you before it completely collapses to the ground.
I
wasn't nervous at all.
I knew it.
I knew
Holman could do it.
Holy shit.
Oh my God.
You summoned a natural 20. You know what?
Dude.
Yeah,
you
are
so cool.
Holman
is already the best
character. I almost
didn't
take the gun.
Do I get experience for that?
Do I get it? This is some Gandalf shit right here.
I was running. I ran really hard.
Thank you so much. Oh my goodness, I'm sweating.
We're here to save you. Jesus Christ.
Hell yeah.
Blood
just happy
everywhere.
Accidents.
Just happy accidents.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
So when do we come in?
So that was the end of your turn. It's lack of turn now.
Mm-hmm.
It's Ramula's turn.
Incredible.
She is going to throw another pewter mug at it. that one will miss. Second pewter mug, crit misses, and she accidentally does shatter a window right over your shoulder, Holman. Final one, she hits the corpse with a pewter mug.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. All right. Barnabas, you hear another firearm crack. You're closer. Give me another check.
Oh, natural 19.
Oh, what's that total on athletics then?
25.
Yep, you hauling. You carve another minute off. You're like, you are sprinting. You know that bit when you're at the end of the, you're like, I don't have to do anything for the next 2 days. I can I can fucking leave everything.
I gotta rest
here
tomorrow.
All right, that makes it Letitia's run next. You're still 4 minutes out. Normal travel time.
Natural 18. That's a 22.
So you haul, taking off. Alistair, you and this little gnome are in the back.
Oh yeah, that poor guy.
Nice.
19.
Oh, you take off. The gnome's like, oh, shit.
We're all just leaving him behind.
You're supposed to keep me safe.
Come on,
dude.
And the gnome is hauling. Like, the gnome's really putting in some
work. Little legs.
Yeah.
I can't keep up.
You mess around too fast for me. That's up there with, you killed father.
You killed father.
And we have now broken Jane across the room while she works.
I killed father.
All right. So, taking off. Holman, it's your turn. You're kind of in this bar. Like, people are screaming. They're running. There's the door that you're near, which is like a set of double doors. And there's another door off. I'm going to say that side of the room is the north side, just because I didn't define it. So the east, there's another door. People are spilling out of that. They're screaming. Gunshots are going off. Bodies are on the floor.
First action, reload.
Okay.
Second action, sit down on that chair.
Uh-huh.
And drink whatever drinks on the table.
That's so fucking cool.
That's, yeah, reload. And I'm like, sit and like my gun's on the table and I just grab whatever's there and I drink it.
Dude, it's that silver coin.
It's poisoned.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I was about to say, I was like going to make a joke and be like, and I run and grab the drink and yeah.
It's the silver coin. It's that lucky silver coin.
Oh, man.
You got to go get that back.
Yeah. I did put it on the corner. I need to go get it back.
I hope you don't mind. I'm going to be keeping this.
I'm going to keep this. Gold coin. I mean, silver, whatever. Yeah, I just sit down and just reload my gun, sit down, and then drink whatever.
That's
whoever left it
badass.
There. I don't even care what it is.
I don't think I can top that. Tune in next week to find out.
Oh!
Yes, absolutely.
Nice.
The Live to Die podcast is a production of Live to Die Gaming. Follow us on social media at Live to Die Pod. Leave a review and tune in next week for more. If you like the amazing background audio and music, all that credit goes to Sirenscape. Make sure you check them out at Sirenscape.com.